Hey guys, before we start the episode, I want to extend an invitation to each and every single one of you to join me and some other incredible people this Thursday evening, the 3rd of October at 7 p.m. in London King's Cross for the second Take Flight event titled How to Overcome Adversity and Become a Better You. It's a philosophy that I live and breathe. I believe in it so passionately, and I cannot wait to share these incredible stories as to why it's the case. I am unbelievably excited by the people who are joining us. We have incredible keynote speakers, including entrepreneur and restaurateur Louis Blake. And just announced yesterday, a special guest, additional keynote speaker, Michael Maisie, 11 years sober, number 11 on SAS Who Dares Wins Season 4, author of Young Offender, and been through so much adversity himself. Plus, a fantastic panel, including Joshua Patterson from Made in Chelsea, Esme Gummer, also from Season 4 of SAS Who Dares Wins, the incredible Ben Tansley, and professional footballer and entrepreneur, Thomas Howe Robson-Kanu. Tickets are live now on the Eventbrite link in my Instagram bio, and I cannot wait to see you all there. Could you do like a little, almost like a little skit intro?
What do you want?
Just something like, I'm Ollie Proudlock, we're on the Take Flight podcast.
Hey, I'm Ollie Proudlock, and welcome to the Take Flight podcast. Yeah, baby.
Hey guys, and welcome to the Take Flight podcast with me, Mark Whittle, where we speak to inspiring guests to hear their inspiring stories with the aim of motivating you to take action on your own goals and move closer to doing the things you're really passionate about. We've had some unbelievable guests the last few episodes, from real life hero Flight Lieutenant Nathan Jones, who saved 200 lives midway through a flight to Afghanistan and since competed in the Invictus Games as the captain of Team GB, winning a number of medals, to Hugh Duffy, who left his job as a barista in Tap Coffee to build their Sandow's cold brew coffee company. 4 years later, they've just got into Sainsbury's, which is huge. And most recently, Chris Wiles, ex-professional rugby player for Saracens, where he won too many trophies to count, but has recently retired and is absolutely killing it with his company, Wolfpack Lager, that he co-founded with ex-Saracens captain Alistair Hargreaves. All those episodes are available now, so you can go and listen to those too. But this week is no different. We have an incredibly exciting guest. I can't wait to share this with you. The guest for episode 18 of the Take Flight podcast is none other than Oliver Proudlock. Ollie is an entrepreneur, fashion designer, model, influencer, and reality TV star. From building his clothing company, Serge Denims, to featuring in 10 seasons of Made in Chelsea, it's fair to say that Ollie is absolutely killing it and fits the bill of a high performer on so many levels. We talk about what it took to build Surge, the traits of somebody who's successful, and also get pretty deep on some life advice and ways to find happiness day to day, something I know that I'm trying to get better at, and a topic of conversation I just love having anyway. It was an absolute pleasure chatting with Ollie. He's such a positive, inspiring guy, and I hope his energy rubs off on you guys as much as it did with me. And just a massive thank you to Ollie for doing it in the first place. I loved talking to him and he shares so much great advice. I know I'll be listening to this a number of times myself. You can follow Ollie at Proudlock on Instagram and at Oliver Proudlock on YouTube, where he has some exciting projects coming up on his YouTube channel, which we didn't actually get into too much, but subscribe to his channel and you'll see all those upcoming projects. And you can follow me at Whittle Take Flight on Instagram, flight spelled F-L-1-G-H-T, where I post all new episodes, book suggestions and books that I'm reading, and other advice on habits, routines, other things I'm trying out. As I record this intro, I'm sat in my hotel room in San Francisco. I've got two unreal guests coming on the show that are going to be the next couple of episodes coming up. So you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and you'll get notifications when those are out. And if you listen to this chat and enjoy it, I'd love it if you could screenshot the episode, post it on your Instagram story, tag me and Proudlock, let us know that you're listening and which bits you're enjoying. That's way too much chat from me. Let's get into the episode with the one and only, super inspiring, super motivational, and really intelligent and insightful, Oliver Proudlock. Enjoy. Ollie Proudlock.
Yes, brother.
Welcome to the Take Flight podcast, man.
Thank you so much for having me, man. It's been we've been planning this for a while, and I feel bad. You know, I think we've both been pretty busy. Just trying to get our schedules to intertwine, but we finally made it happen.
We're making it happen, mate. It's going to be magical.
We're making it happen, man. I'm excited,
mate. So I don't know if you remember when I sent you the email first time round. We have actually met a little while ago. I think it was like maybe 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah, where was that again?
It was in your pop-up store in Carnaby Street.
Yes, dude, that was actually, funny enough, so we've done loads of pop-up stores over the years. We try and do, you know, one a year at least, because, you know, a lot of our business is, it's online and, you know, through social media, and that's how we kind of connect with our community. But we try and do one pop-up a year where we can obviously bring everything to life and, you know, meet some of the people who follow us. And that, to date, is definitely my favourite pop-up that we've done, the one on Carnaby Street.
Such a good spot, isn't it?
It was great, man. It was really, really cool. And we collaborated with some other brands. And I remember the store was called Head to Toe. So I remember we had a shoe brand. We had, I think, swim shorts. We had sunglasses. Then we had our stuff. So it was like a real, you know, if you were a guy, you could cruise in there and you could get anything you wanted.
Mate, that's what I thought when I went in there. I picked up a couple of things when I was there.
What did you pick up?
I picked up, it was like a black scoop tee.
Yes, man, the scoop.
Yeah, with the
long
SDN.
Line.
Yeah,
yes, mate, yeah, classic.
And then it was a white vest with the cross and the flowers on it.
SDN. Yeah, the flower one, with the SDN, LDN. Yeah. Yeah, man, that's solid.
Yeah.
Very good picks.
Mate, I know. Yeah. I was very happy. But yeah, mate, I remember thinking, like, I met you, I probably spoke to you for like maybe 5-6 minutes.
Yeah.
And there was loads of people there, and I just thought, like, you had so much time for everyone, including myself.
Man.
And I was just like, when I started this podcast, I was like, I'd love to get you on. Cause,
oh, man, thank you, brother.
Yeah.
No, it means a lot, man. And it's, you know, it's been a crazy journey with Serge. And obviously, June 1st this year was our 7th birthday, which is pretty insane, man, to think.
So good.
You know, I'm you know, fashion is super, super hard. It's a really hard industry to kind of make it and you know, last time. You know, I think when we got to 5 years, that was a really big moment for us. And it's funny, I was speaking to you earlier about this. You know, I think with whether it's fashion or music or whatever it might be, you know, you've got to try and find your niche.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to try and find something that is slightly unique and, you know, is really going to make people take notice, you know? And I think it's actually taken us like, you know, 7 years to get to the point where we are now, where we're really focusing on the jewelry as well as still doing the clothes. But finally now, you know, there's this buzz and there's this real feeling that people are really taking notice, which is exciting.
Yeah, but that's great, mate. That's such a good message, because it doesn't happen on day one, does it?
It doesn't, man. And you know what? When you set it up, I remember, you know, my original plan, you know, when I set it up, it was a small collection of T-shirts. We had 12 tees. And, you know, the plan was, you know, just start with T-shirts, you know, do a bit of jersey, do the tees, sweats, all this sort of stuff, and then move into denim. You know, obviously that's why I called it Serge Denim.
Yeah.
And, you know, that did happen. Obviously, we do denim now. We've got the denim jackets. We do some denim accessories. But, you know, I found over time, you know, denim's a very, it's a hard material to work with. And people are very loyal with their denim, right? So I'm not trying to compete with some of these big denim brands, right? But for us, you know, we're about being sort of exclusive. And, you know, with all our denim pieces, we only do 50 of each.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's been a roller coaster along the way. And as you go, you learn and you see what works, you see what doesn't work. You know, often you learn from your mistakes, not just in business, but in life. And now, you know, we've gone through this path. And now, you know, the jewelry is a real major focus for us. And that is, I would say, our niche.
Yeah, mate, I'm excited to see what else you guys are doing.
It's super exciting, man. Yeah.
And love that. We're sat in your office at the minute and there's a very nice denim jacket.
Dude, yeah, so those wooden frames, when we do our pop-ups, we collaborate with a lot of creatives. And I had a friend of mine who's a carpenter and he actually made those frames, the wooden frames there. And that denim jacket, we did 50 of those. And I got an amazing artist, a guy called Adam Claridge. And we customize some of the denim pieces.
Nice.
Which is a nice thing for people as well, you know, to feel like they've got a one-off.
Yeah.
And again, you know, for us, it's so important to connect with our customer.
Yeah.
And by doing little things like that, it's, you know, a way of really, really connecting.
Yeah, that exclusivity is a nice thing as well.
Yeah, man.
There's brands that put on, like, if it was a 50, for example, you'd put on, like, one of 50, two of 50, and, like, the label and stuff. And I think that's a nice thing.
Yeah, man, for sure, dude. Because I think, you know, there's so many brands out there. You know, a lot of people buy on the high street and, you know, you could be wearing a jacket and you could see two guys as you cruise down that street wearing the same jacket, right?
Looking at my Reese jacket.
Yeah, I mean, like, damn, man, I shouldn't have worn this jacket today. Whereas at least with ours, man, you know, that's not really going to happen.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
So, mate, I want to talk a little bit more about Serge later on. just to start off with some generic questions about yourself. So you're an entrepreneur, designer, model, influencer, and what some people know you as is a reality TV star. Mm-hmm. Which of these do you most identify yourself with?
You know, for me, you know, Serge is my baby, right? Yeah. You know, and I had that a long time before doing the show. And, you know, this word influencer, I hate that word. But, you know, over time, I guess I slightly influence people, hopefully in a positive way. But first and foremost, I would say I'm a designer.
Yeah.
You know, and above everything, I would say a creative. You know, when I was a kid, it was always art and fashion. And actually, I specialized in art. So I was always painting. I was one of those cats at school who was just always in the art school. And for me, man, I just loved it. And I, you know, from the age of maybe 15, I started having exhibitions. And that was how I kind of, you know, survived. Because when I was 16, my dad, you know, was like, okay, I'm not going to give you any more money right now. And I was like, okay, well, I need to find a focus. So for me, it was painting. So, you know, I started having exhibitions. And I remember that feeling when you sold your first painting. I was like, oh, man, this is insane. I'm doing something that I love. And potentially this could be a career in the future. And then as time went on, you know, I went to St. Martin's, did my foundation there, went on to Newcastle, did a BA in fine art. So, you know, I was doing a lot of time and spending a lot of time in the studio painting. But it wasn't until I came back, that's when I realized I loved painting. But the problem was it's quite a lonely existence. You kind of, you're stuck in your studio and you get stuck in your mind. And I need to be in a place where I'm bouncing off people, right? And you're connecting and, you know, you feel like you're part of a community, which is another thing which is super important for Serge. And that's when I moved into fashion, man. So yeah, I mean, designer, yeah, but I would say creative.
Okay, are you still painting now?
Do you know what? I haven't painted in so long, man. And my fiance and I, we just bought a house. So she's kind of pushing me. She's like, look, I really want some new art in the house. Yeah. So if I can find the time. The problem is time. And I, you know, with painting, it's not something that just happens overnight.
But the whole creative process is something that's, well, generally brings people happiness. Wherever you find that, it sounds like painting's obviously your muse.
Oh, for sure, man. You know, for me, I still see myself as, you know, rather than painting on a canvas, I'm painting on clothes, on tees and with jewelry. It's very much a similar thing, but it's just a different sort of medium.
Yeah.
And for me, man, I just love it. I just get a buzz off being creative.
What would you say, like, percentage-wise, is the stuff that you've designed of Serge?
Is in the stuff in the collection?
Yeah.
All of it.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah. That's my favorite part of the business.
Yeah.
You know, I love all the day-to-day and, you know, obviously 7 years ago when I set the business up, I made sure that I knew every part of it. Obviously, I was the only person then. You know, and we still got a small, tight team. There's only five of us in here. So I make sure that I know every part. But for me, the most exciting part is the designing, the creative.
Mate, that's my bad, because I don't know why, but I just assume that maybe you have like a hand in it. You're so busy doing stuff all the time. You can see on like Instagram, you're always traveling around.
Yeah.
I don't know whether people think the same thing and I just assume that you have like a part hand in it.
No,
do all of it yourself.
Yeah, that's amazing. This is my baby, yeah.
Yeah.
And it is, you know, at the moment it's kind of tough, you know, managing time and making sure that, you know, I spend enough time in here. But also, you know, I'm out and about and I'm, you know, because I do a lot of collaborations with other brands, you know, over fashion, fitness and travel. So, but we're all hustling out here, right? We're trying to manage our time and just do the best we can. But yeah, I love the brand. But, you know, I'm in a great place now with the people around me in this company and they're amazing.
Yeah.
And they're so committed and passionate and they really, really love the brand, which I would say is, you know, one of the most important things when you're setting up a company is the people around you. You know, they have to be on the same page, obviously, and they've just got to have the passion and the energy because that affects everyone around you.
Yeah, I was listening to something the other day that was talking just about this around who you surround yourself with.
Yeah,
especially if you're the founder.
Yeah,
one's ever gonna love it as much as you do.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
to find those people who are like pretty close is amazing.
Yeah, dude, 100%. And that's not just in business, man. In life,
like, yeah,
you look back when we're younger. And you have so many friends, right? So many friends. And a lot of these friends, you know, some may bring you down. Some might be a little negative. You will have cats in there who are super positive and they're bigging you up. And as you get older, you know, you start, your friendship groups gets tighter and tighter, right?
Yeah.
And now I find, you know, for me, man, I'm just all about being around super positive people. People who like, who push you to be better.
Yeah.
You know, not just in work, but in life. And now, you know, I feel that's one of the great things about getting a bit older. You build this insane little tight family.
Yeah.
And they are family, you know?
Yeah, that's great, man.
Yeah, so 100%.
Yeah, do you know what? Because I like, from looking at the things that you do and generally your demeanor, like, you're so positive.
Mm.
All, like, I see you as, like, quite high energy.
Yeah.
Obviously, that sounds like one of the ways that you maintain that. Like, how else do you keep positive? And, I mean, do you ever have, like, off days? And if you do, how do you manage that?
Yeah, man, I think we all do. You know, I remember when I was a kid, I grew up with my mum in the countryside, a couple hours south of London. And my mum's a super creative. She's from Sweden, but she was a photographer, designer. And I grew up in a pretty crazy household, and our family wasn't that conventional. You know, and I remember, as we all do as kids, you know, we go through emotions and insecurities and whatever it might be. And I remember the one thing she always told me was, no matter what, be positive. Even in those moments when you're super sad and things are not going your way, just flip it, man. You got to be positive. You know, so, I mean, yes, I have down days. It's not like I'm burying. I'm not saying it's a good thing to bury them, but at the same time, you need to just, you pick yourself up, right? You got to be positive. You got to get out there. Because as soon as you start letting these things get the better of you, you know, then you'll be down, you start bringing everyone else down. Like, you just got to be positive at all times, man.
Yeah, is that like a, you feel it coming, you kind of catch it thing, and you flip it?
But like you say, there are things that help me to get over that. You know, fitness for me is a major part of that. You know, so I get up pretty early in the morning, sort of around 5:30, and that moment in the day when I go to the gym, that is the moment when I can really, it's like my own time.
Yeah.
You know, that's the one time that I'm not around a lot of people. And, you know, burning those endorphins and, you know, sweating it out, that for me, my morning routine, that's what kind of gets me going, man, and gets me buzzed for the day.
Yeah.
You know, I don't always say to people, you know, people who, you know, maybe are going through a bit of a rut or you know, not sure, I always say, dude, try if you can just to exercise. You know, it doesn't have to be crazy, crazy amounts, but just exercise, man. Sweat it out, burn the endorphins, and, you know, it will get you in a higher mood, you know?
Mate, I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
But I try and do it as much as I can.
Yeah.
Didn't get in there this morning. I got my gym kit in my bag.
I got in there. But, dude, you got the whole day, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you're all good. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So you mentioned your morning routine.
Mm.
What does it look like on a typical day? And then if you could kind of follow up with what a typical week would look like for you.
Sure. I mean, it's hard to kind of break it down into a typical week or day. I mean, what I was saying to someone yesterday, actually, one of the things that I love about what I do is every day is different.
Mm.
You know, I have so much respect for people who do a 9-to-5, yeah. Right? For me, I don't think I've that's ever been in me, and I don't know if I ever could. You know, mornings are usually always the same, if I can, unless I'm traveling or if I'm filming super early. So I usually get up around 5:30. I'll go to the gym. I'll do a sort of 45 to an hour. I then have a sauna, 15 minutes, sweat it out.
Every time?
Every time.
Yeah.
Every time, all the time. I think that's my Swedish blood, man. Mum, you know, she loves saunas.
Yeah.
So I'm big into saunas.
I was reading about saunas the other day, actually, about the importance or the impact it can have on you, raising your, like, heart rate up to that level and just sweating it all out.
Yeah.
And just how it puts your body under that stress.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And also that 15 minutes when I'm in there, that's when I'm kind of planning my day, you know, and just taking a time to meditate, which is important, man, just to have that moment by yourself.
What's that meditation look like? What do you do?
Dude, I just, breathing, man, for me is big. I know you just commented on my new tattoo, which says breathe. You know, there are two tattoos that I have which kind of help my mental state. One is that I have two pluses on my thumbs, and that's to remind me to always be positive. And I put them there because they're right there in my view, right? So if I'm ever down or crashing anything, I look at those and it always reminds me to pick myself up. The other one is the one I just got here, which is breathe.
Love it.
And breathing obviously is super important. Without breathing, we wouldn't be here. But just taking deep, long breaths and just fueling your body with that oxygen and just and then breathing out. So I try and do that in the sauna every morning.
I'll tell you what you would love is, I've mentioned it a couple of times on the podcast, it's called transformational breathing.
Right.
Don't know if you've ever heard of it before.
No, but it sounds awesome.
You would love it. Like, so it's basically, it's a practice where you use a technique that you practice circular breathing.
Right.
So you breathe in real deep,
mm-hmm.
and then breathe out, and there's no pause, and you breathe back in again. So over time, if you start to do it 5, 10, 15 minutes, you're over-oxygenating your body and you go into like a state of transcendence.
Wow, okay, I need to try that.
Yeah.
Okay,
maybe not in the sauna though.
Maybe, I was going to say in the sauna, I'd probably pass out. So yeah, I do that 15 minutes and then I actually have, I jump in an ice-cold plunge.
Yeah, yeah, nice.
So that again is to do with blood flow and going from super high heat to the cold. Mm-hmm. And then I have an ice-cold shower and that's me ready, set, ready for the day. And then my usual day, you know, would be in the office, so at Serge HQ. And, you know, our day-to-day routines kind of vary from designing to, we do something called Serge Meets, where we look for individuals who we can create content, so do shoots, but also it gives them an opportunity to talk about projects that they're doing. So one of the things I always wanted the brand to do was act as a platform for young creatives. Mm-hmm. So give people an opportunity to talk about what they're doing, and that could be anything from music, from skating, from tattooing, whatever it might be. Because one of the major things for us is about building this creative community, right? Like-minded individuals, and we all come together and we help each other out and we collaborate. And then obviously, you know, your marketing side of things, you know, customer service for us is huge. Obviously, we've got a big team of us, so it's about managing each and every one. And then other thing, obviously, every day is different. It could be filming involved in there. It could be doing a photo shoot. I try as much as I can to do 1 or 2 days a week outside of Serge where I can create content, whether that be video content for my social platforms or whether that be creating new stills. Obviously, I do a lot of collaborations with brands. So sometimes, you know, I might have to travel, go somewhere and create content for someone or whatever it might be. So, I mean, you know, every week is different. But one thing I can say within that week, it will always be creative, no doubt. There'll always be some fitness in there. And there's usually a bit of travel as well.
Yeah.
I've been traveling a lot recently.
Would that be like, is that your favorite week then, to have a bit of travel, a bit of exercise, a bit of content?
Creativity? Yeah, man. And then obviously, you know, hanging with my fiance and my friends and family and stuff like that. You know, for me and my, you know, I think it's important to work and hustle, but at the same time it's super important to spend time with your loved ones, you know, and switch off sometimes.
Yeah, so important.
Because, you know, I think some people, when you own your own brand, it's super hard to switch off, and I'm guilty of it sometimes, you know. And I think especially with these bad boys, our mobile phones, it's a bit of a ball and chain, you know, it's always on us, and we have the tendency sometimes to get sucked into it.
Yeah,
you know, with social media and emails and everything that's going on. So Tuesday nights we have a rule where you're gonna leave your phone at the door.
Really?
We have slipped on that a couple of times, but yeah, we're trying anyway. So yeah, every week's different, man.
Awesome. All right, mate, I love it. So, okay, to take it back to Serge then.
Mm.
So this podcast is about taking flight, about following your passion, about taking that leap of faith in whatever it is that you want to do. So could you tell us the story of starting the business and kind of, I suppose, what led you to actually follow through on that passion?
So yeah, like I said earlier, 7 years it was that I set up Serge Denim.
When's the birthday?
Dude, we just had it on June the 1st.
Yeah.
So we actually did a neon collection. I'm actually wearing one right now.
Pink,
and on the back, you can see it says number. Yeah. We got the number 7 on the back. Yeah. So we did a nice little capsule collection to honor our 7th year, which was super sweet. Crazy 7 years, man. I can't believe it. So yeah, for me, ever since I was a kid, we were talking about it earlier, I was always a little unconventional in terms of the ways I was making money, and I was always kind of going out and doing my own thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember at school, my dad put me in touch with one of his buddies, and he made these shoes. They were like fake Gucci's. They were called Roddy's. Nice. I don't know if you've ever seen those. They're really nice shoes, actually. I actually started buying these shoes off him. I used to buy like loads of these bad boys, and I used to sell them at school. And I was like the shoe man at school. I was just like, and then it got to a point where I was selling shoes to like their parents and stuff. It was hilarious. And everyone was walking around with these fake Gucci's. It was funny. And you know, and then after that, I remember 1 year, me and my buddy bought like 100 Christmas trees. And we had this, we had a storage unit up in Battersea. And we put all these trees in there. And then we had his mum's Subaru car, and we were chucking 2 or 3 trees in the back. We were driving around London and just knocking on doors and selling trees. Just so random, right? But like, so we were all, you know, I was always trying to think outside of the box and do slightly different things.
So like an entrepreneurial streak.
Yeah, man. So I think since I was a kid, I always knew that I wanted to set up my own business, right?
Where'd that come from? Was that from your parents?
I think so, man. Yeah. But, you know, my parents are super different. My mom is very creative, and she's always, you know, had her own businesses. And she's so talented, but I think the one thing she may have slightly lacked was her sort of entrepreneurial skills. And that's where I think my dad kind of really, really excels. You know, he used to own a restaurant here in Chelsea for like 35 years. And then open a couple more thereafter. So I kind of like to think that I've got my mum's creative side, a little bit of my dad's entrepreneurial. So yeah, I think it kind of came from the two of them. And they, I mean, both of them had their own businesses, right? And I always looked up to them, and you know, I loved what they, you know, what they were about and how they achieved their goals. But you know, I was very creative. So I knew that, you know, whatever it might be, whether it would be art or fashion or whatever, I knew that I had this like urge, man, that I just wanted to do it. But it goes back to what you're talking about there. It's about taking that leap of faith. You know, I think there are so many people out there who talk about stuff, right? And tell them, you know, tell you about the ideas and like, I'm going to do this. Yeah. But it's one thing talking about it, it's another thing actually doing it. And yeah, I guess it was when I was at Newcastle studying fine art. And, you know, I was there for 4 years. And obviously, you know, spending a lot of time in the studio and painting. And but during that time, I remember I was probably about 2 years in, and I was thinking to myself, man, I just don't know if I could see myself doing this as a career, you know, being in a studio painting by myself. And the worst is when you get like creative block, and I just didn't know what to paint. And then I just got so consumed, it became so conceptual, and I got so consumed in why, like even to a brushstroke, like why have I done that brushstroke? Whereas prior to that, I loved the process. For me, it was about the process, not about the meaning. It was about my expressions and like how I was reacting to certain things. So I got lost a little bit.
Mate, that's like life though, isn't it?
Yeah, man. Really? Yeah, dude. Yeah. When you start questioning everything, man, you just got to enjoy the process of life, you know, and react to things. And, you know, your path will change and things will be different. And maybe it's not the path you think you're going to end up, but just go with the flow, I think. And it was during that time, it's probably halfway through, I started going to the vintage stores, and I started buying all these clothes, and I was painting on the clothes, and I was customizing them, and I was selling them to some of the guys in the uni, basically. And I was just loving it, man. I was like, finally, I was starting to love the process again. And then while I was there, I used to go down and visit my mum a lot, and she did this book on Rio Carnival, and it was called Carnival 78. And it was this incredible book. All the images were from Rio Carnival. Her and her first husband, they went out there 4 years in a row, and they created this freaking insane book. And this is when Carnival was out in the streets. You know, in Rio now, it's all in samba drums and stuff like this. And it was just raw and just like so energetic. And these images were just like insane. Yeah. And that book, I'd been looking at that book since I was a kid. And I went to Brazil when I was 18, mainly because of that book. I went there for Carnival. Had the most incredible time. And it wasn't until, you know, 4 years later that when I was visiting my mom and I was seeing her, and I started looking at that book again, I was like, man, this book is just so sick. And I was like, these images are just, you know, and this is, you know, however many years later. And I was like, I want to do something with these images. And I'd been going to Portugal since I was a kid, this place called Porto in the north of Portugal. Mm-hmm. And a buddy of mine who I became very close with, he was in the fashion industry. He was creating, his family created a lot of clothes for some of these big companies. And I was thinking to myself, man, I just want to print some of these images on t-shirts. And it was when graphic tees were super on trend. You know, yeah. Everyone was wearing these tees with these big images on. Yeah. And I was just thinking to myself, man, some of these images are cool, but the t-shirt doesn't feel good. And then there was some tees which were like super soft and nice, but the image wasn't good. And I was thinking, wow, what I reckon with these images, I could create just like the perfect tee. So like a super soft Pima cotton tee, but then with an image that's like so powerful, but like softer touch, none of this hard, you know, four layers of print. And so I called my buddy. I was like, dude, I got these images. I really want to do something with them. And we started doing samples. You know, at this time I didn't know what I was doing with it. I was just kind of going with the flow a little bit. And I just wanted to, you know, create some pieces and see how they looked. And, you know, we went through 3-4 months and finally got to this sample set, and they were just so tight. They were just like so soft and just like images were sweet. And then I was like, okay, this is awesome. And I was like, okay, maybe I can set something up here. Maybe I can, you know, set up a brand, push it out with these teas and just see how it goes.
Yeah.
And I then decided I wanted to build up a bit of a story. So I took those teas and I went with my buddy and we went back to Brazil. Really? So it was like us taking these images from 1978, but taking them to 2000 and whenever it was, 2010. And some of these images, when my mum was out in Brazil, she was just going up to random Brazilians and giving them masks and like scar, all these different things, and just taking photos of them. So we were like, let's go out there. My buddy was coming with. We had a camera. We had like one bag. Plan was to go for like 2-3 weeks. We ended up staying for like 2 months.
Really?
And we basically just went up to people and got all these Brazilians wearing the t-shirts. And I started a blog. So I was blogging every day, right? And
this is all before TV.
Yeah, way before, man. And we were out there for like 3 months and we were just getting these fucking amazing images and people were like starting to follow the blog and it was like creating a bit of a buzz and a lifestyle, right? It wasn't just a product now. It was becoming something and it was so interesting because we were, you know, looking back at the past with these images, but then we were bringing it to the present. It was like a really nice connection.
Yeah.
And it just felt great, man. It was just like a really good feeling and people were loving the teas. The reaction was really good out there. So then I came back and I was like, okay, right, let's do something now. And I was trying to come up with a name. And, you know, I was going into the unknown, obviously, and we're talking about this leap of faith.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know anything like company house, like how to set up a brand, all this sort of stuff. And I was looking into what name? I was like, the name is so important. And I was thinking, when I think of fashion, what resonates with me? What's like really powerful and important? And for me, it's denim. Because when I was a kid, my mum had a denim company called Denim & Style. Our whole house is denim. Like, as in my bedroom is black denim wallpaper. I have a denim slate bedboard. Denim bean bags. My bathroom's blue denim. Like, the whole house is denim.
No way.
Yeah. I even denimed my mum's car. She had a Fiat 500. I patchworked denimed the car, denimed the hubcaps. We used to cruise around Gloucester in this denim car. And when I was a kid, I was dressed in like quadruple denim. So denim is big in our family.
So you don't have a problem with double denim?
I ain't got no problem with denim. Hey man, you can wear quadruple denim, just go for it. So I started looking into the origin of denim and went all the way back to its origin. And originally, the way the cotton is woven was coined serge. And it originated in Nîmes in France. So denim was originally called serge de Nîmes of Nîmes. Then became denim, and now we know denim is denim.
Yeah.
So it's shortened down. So I was like, oh my God, this is perfect. So I set up, set up the brand company house, trademarked the name, all this sort of stuff. And then I was like, right, I need to, you know, create some sort of show or do whatever it might be. And a friend of mine who was running a club at the time, he was like, look, man, you can use my space. And I was like, okay. And I wanted to bring that Brazilian vibe. So I got all these Brazilian dancers and we had a whole Brazilian theme. I had these great models cruising down and it was literally just 12 t-shirts, man. But it was like a buzz on the night and there were loads of people there. And this one girl that I knew, I used to work at Ralph Lauren.
Yeah.
And one of the girls I met when I was working there, she was very good friends with the head buyer at Harrods. And she was like, I'm going to bring him down. Like, I think these tees are great. I think they might, you know, they might like him. And he came and I had a chat with him afterwards. He's like, I love these tees, man. He was like, I want to buy them. I was like, whoa, dude. So 2 weeks later, I cruised down into the men's lab, you know, downstairs in Harrods. And, you know, for me, Harrods as a kid, I lived in Gloucester, but I used to come up to London all the time and spend time with my grandmother. And as a treat, she would always take me to Harrods. She'd maybe buy me one piece or something. So for me, like, that is big. And that was when I took it seriously and I thought, wow, this could actually be something. I remember cruising downstairs and seeing my t-shirts amongst these amazing brands like Acne and, you know, they're on the mannequins and I was just like, oh my God.
How old were you at this point?
I was after Newcastle. I was at Newcastle for 4 years, so I must have been 23.
Nice, man.
So yeah, that was a crazy time, man. And that's when I really believed that it could become something. And then 7 years have gone by. I mean, it's been nuts, man. But yeah, that's how the whole thing really started.
Amazing, mate. So what would you say if you sort of looked back over the 7 years, if you had to pick one thing, what would be the key thing that led to the success and the longevity?
I mean, That's a tough one. You know, I mean, that moment there was pretty big. I'm not going to lie. That was the moment. That was the moment where, you know, I think with all these things, when you need someone or something to have faith in you and to, you know, there are so many creatives out there who are super talented and they may be creating something amazing. But unless they can get it out there, unless they've got a platform or unless they have someone who can help them or a way in which they can market it, you know, so much of that creative talent is lost, right? You know, and I was in that place where I had something. I was like, how am I going to get it out there?
Yeah.
And, you know, that for me, that Harrods was definitely a big point. Another point, I can't deny it, was definitely going on TV.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that wasn't that long after I set the brand up. That was probably maybe 6 months after.
Really?
Yeah, man. And, you know, the opportunity came up and I was so torn. I was like, oh, man, I remember it. It was a really crazy time.
How did the opportunity come up?
You know, they were, you know, doing this show and they were looking for people in Chelsea and they just found a group of us. And we were all mates and all connected, you know, and I think that's part of the reason why it really worked, because there was so much history between us and it was authentic, because they weren't just picking random people. And I, you know, I was so torn and I'm pretty indecisive. It's definitely one of my downfalls. Yeah. And I was just, couldn't make up my mind. And, you know, and on the one hand, I was thinking, you know, this could be a great opportunity. You know, I'm in a place where I have a brand.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have a huge amount of money. You know, I was sleeping at my sister's place at the time. I had 500 t-shirts that were all stored at my friend's mom's house. Back then, we used to wrap. The wrapping was so extreme, and I used to go over to my friend's mom's place, and I used to wrap them in this logo, Serge Denis tissue paper. I had these little stickers that used to seal the tissue paper, and they said Serge Denis, live the dream underneath. And then I used to cut my mum's denim in little strips, and I used to wrap it, do a little bow, put them in these boxes. I used to write a personal note that was on these Rio Carnival postcards and send them out, and I used to put them in a pack. I used to cruise down to the post office. So, you know, and I love that, and I'm so glad that I did that whole process. But the show came up and I was thinking, this could be an amazing opportunity. This could be, I was talking about it earlier, a platform.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could give me that, you know, opportunity to really push it out there. But then I was thinking, on the other hand, this could be really negative. I could come off like a complete beep hole. And, you know,
you can swear.
And I wasn't sure how they would edit it. You know, it was, again, going into the unknown. And I think for me, in that moment, I thought to myself, you regret the things you don't do in life more than the things you do. I try to stick through that.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's one of those things, if it didn't go to plan, it didn't go well, whatever, you can just quit it out and you can make amends, you know? But at least I would have tried it and known. Otherwise, I hate the thought of, you know, had I not done it, I would have looked back and been like, oh, what if, or, you know, how things would have changed. And, you know, thankfully, I came off pretty good, I think. And, that definitely had a major impact, because, you know, it gave me a following, and through that following, I was able to, it wasn't a direct influence on the brand, because I couldn't speak about the brand or anything like that on the show, but it was, it gave me an opportunity, it gave me a following whereby I could talk about the things I was doing, and so that definitely had an impact.
Yeah, mate, I've got two questions off the back of that. So firstly, do you feel, in maybe like a weird kind of way, that the Harrods thing and the show was almost like a reward for you taking the risk in the first place?
Maybe.
And then the second question is, I think you come across great on the show.
Thank you, bud. Appreciate it.
Of course. But like, you kind of do the whole like mediator, I don't get caught up in the gossip kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And from having that, like being that, I suppose, character, but obviously it's just your personality.
Yeah.
What opportunities has that led to outside of the show? And then how do you start to steer and choose those opportunities? How do you need, like, how do you know which is the right thing to do?
In terms of work, or?
I mean, probably more work, yeah. But like, anyone who's approaching you then saying like, we think this is a good opportunity for you. Yeah. I imagine you get a lot of those.
Yeah, of course, man. You know, I think the most important thing, you know, in life is to be yourself, obviously, and be authentic and real. And, you know, when I went into the show, I always said to myself, I'm not going to get involved in all the gossip and all of that for the sake of it, for the sake of airtime. you know, for me, I said from the get-go, I have to be myself. And in real life, I'm not a gossip or anything like that. I don't like getting involved in other people's business. So I guess that's why over time that became my role, just because, you know, that's what I'm like in real life. You know, and obviously having done the show, a lot of opportunities came up, and, you know, I think it was weird because it was such a whirlwind, man. Like, none of us knew what the reaction was going to be, and it just went a bit crazy. You know, and I think in those instances, you could just really lose your mind and you could start saying yes to everything and you could just see the money, right? And the one thing for me, I had like a long-term goal. I knew where I wanted to get to. And if you have that and you stick by it, then you're able to look at things from afar.
Yeah.
So, you know, I said no to more things than I said yes to.
Yeah.
You know, and I still stick by that, you know. For me, various, you know, the brands that I work with, I have to be able to relate to them. And also we go back to this whole influencer thing, and I don't want to be pushing out products or talking about things that I don't believe in, because then I'm almost selling a lie, right? It's like I'm pushing something to the people who look to me to maybe, you know, get influence on certain things or what they should do or whatever it might be. So that's always been, since day one, man, I was always like, I have to work with brands and do things that I believe in, and then I will be able to reach my end goal, because I'm not in it for a quick buck. I'm in it for longevity. You know?
We're here for a long time.
Yeah, man, we're here for a long time. Good time.
So, mate, I'd like to hear how you build that vision, understand where it is that you're going, and then you spoke about being authentic. How do you stay true to that vision?
How do you stay true to that vision? Do you know what, man? It's funny because we all have, well, hopefully we all have some sort of vision or some sort of plan or what we want to do. And things may change. And your, you know, over time, your creative may change. Your vision may slightly change. But the most important thing is authenticity. For me, anyway, that's like throughout my path, you know, fashion's always been my number one. You know, fitness is something that has really come into the game probably 5 years ago. And, you know, for me, fitness has been a major thing in terms of keeping my head in the game. And it ties in also with this whole sort of lifestyle thing with the travel as well. Like, these are three things that are really, really important to me. So for me, sticking to my path, I look at these three things and I'm like, these are my focuses. And, you know, I'm trying to build a brand that has longevity, and I want to be ideally respected within these three realms, you know, and I want to be creating content that I freaking believe in, content that, you know, I can put out there and be proud of it. I don't want to just be creating content for the sake of it and working with brands for the sake of it. I want there to be a plan in place and for there to be meaning behind it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. 100%, mate.
Yeah.
I love it. So, again, talking about Surge, but also the stuff you've done outside and TV and everything else that you've been involved in, have you got any stories of either a failure or an obstacle which you've taken a big learning away from?
I don't know if there's one in particular. I mean, I've made loads of mistakes along the way for sure. I mean, that's how I've learned most of the things I've learned, learning from my mistakes. I'm trying to think if there's one in particular.
Well, how do you even just deal with mistakes, like, and how do you remember the lessons over time?
I mean, I think the important thing is you don't have regrets. Like, don't regret things, because I think if you regret things, you can really let them play on your mind. But I do think it's important, you know, we all make mistakes throughout our life, and I think it's maybe taking a step back, looking at that mistake, looking at the way in which it came about, why it came about, how you reacted, and just making sure that you learn from it and you don't do it again.
Yeah.
But, you know, with business, man, you know, I didn't study a business degree. I studied art. I was a painter. You know, I'm not a businessman, but over time, you know, you make these mistakes and it makes you stronger and better. And you just keep, it's funny how when you go into the unknown, it's like when I set up Surge, I was like, oh my God, but it just happens, man. Like, over time, like, you meet people, there are people around you, and you just, day by day, man, you're just out there and you're just getting it done.
Yeah.
It's mad, dude. So I don't think you want to worry and think too much. yes, it's important to take your time when you've got something, make sure that that model and that plan is perfect. And, you know, I think as a creative, sometimes we've got an idea like, oh, you just want to get it out there, right? You're so excited. Mm-hmm. Take time. But then also don't worry too much. Like, things will be sweet, man.
Yeah.
Everything will work out.
Yeah. Just like learn by doing. Trust the process.
Exactly, man.
Yeah. So, mate, we do the same three questions at the end of every episode. Mm. The reason we do that is so that listeners have got some tangible things to take away they can incorporate into their lives straight away. So the first question of these three is there anything you've discovered recently, come across, that you're particularly excited about that people should look into themselves?
Anything I'm really excited about? Is this in terms of like... in terms of like general life, or is this like could it be something tangible?
It could be anything. I usually say it could be a exercise in the gym. It could be a book you've just read. It could be a TV show that you're watching. It could be anything.
Thing.
Yeah. It could be a place you've just visited. It could be anything you're excited about.
Okay. I'm big into food, man. We haven't even spoken about food right now.
Let's do it.
Have you seen Chef's Table?
Which one's that? The when they're trying to get investment for?
Dude, no. Okay, guys, if you know, and it's not. You don't even just have to love food to watch this. It's so inspiring and aspirational. And the people on each episode are just incredible. So it's a TV show called Chef's Table. It's on Netflix.
Okay.
It's like three seasons out, I think. And it's so beautifully shot as well. So aesthetically, it just looks insane. Each episode basically looks at a chef. But these guys are at the top of their game, right? And, you know, one could be this incredible place out in the middle of nowhere in Sweden. And so a lot of it is around, you know, the place itself, around the food. But a lot of it focuses on the individual. Like, where did this idea come from? Like, these guys you should get on this podcast because these guys are crazy.
Okay.
But you watch it, man. You see how their mind works. And one, the food is incredible and you fall in love with that. But then you start to... you understand, like, in all... like, these people are so... committed and passionate to what they're doing. I mean, it's like, it's unbelievable. And you watch it and you're just so consumed by it.
Okay.
So I would say watch that one from the point of view of the food and have these as places that maybe one day you want to go to.
Yeah.
I haven't been to any of them, but I would just love to travel and one, try the food, and two, if it's even possible, meet, you know, some of these guys and girls. So yeah. What's Chef's Table, man?
Yeah, we'll get awesome. On it. Side note, what's your favourite restaurant in London?
Wow, good one. Favourite restaurant in London? It's tough. So tough. I mean, one that I really love at the moment is called Foley's, and it's just off Tottenham Court Road. And it's such a couple buddies of mine who run the place, and it's just got a great vibe. It's kind of Pan-Asian fusion.
Yeah, good.
And... it's just really nice little dishes and a good vibe, really great drinks. And for me, man, when I go out and I socialize and I go to restaurants and stuff, I like to have little dishes that you can all share. Yeah, that's what I like, man, just little dishes. So nice. Yeah, that's a good spot. I say get it.
Check that one out. So the next one is, if you had to give a listener one piece of advice, something that they could incorporate into a daily routine that's going to drive their performance forward, what would that one thing be?
I would say give it your everything. You know, no matter what you're doing in life, whether it be your work life, your family life, your fitness life, whatever piece of your day, just give it your everything.
Mm.
Be fully committed. You know, I think we only live once, and that moment could be only once. So whatever it is, just give it everything.
Yeah, I think whether you're each day, whether it's like in the gym or in a meeting on a phone call, whatever, if you're just trying your best in each one.
Yeah, man.
You're getting better at it each day.
Exactly. And also always treat people with respect.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone around you, whatever, you know, whatever environment that might be, because it's super important, man. You got to treat everyone with respect.
Yeah, I was speaking with Chris Wiles, who was on the podcast the episode before this, who started Wolfpack Lager, the Saracens rugby player, saying the same thing, whether it's like the American term, but janitor to the CEO.
Yeah, 100%. Give everyone time, man.
Yeah.
Give everyone time.
So the final question, mate, is if you take yourself back to, let's say, 7 years ago, just about to start Surge, there's two versions of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
What is the key differentiator between the version of Ollie who went on and had all the success that you've had to date versus the version of Ollie who might not have done all those things, whether it's mindset or behaviour, whatever it might be. What do you think the key differentiator is between those two versions?
Between those two people?
Yeah.
Wow, man, that's big. You know, I often think to myself, I do think of this sometimes, like, have you seen the movie Sliding Doors?
Yeah, mate, I was literally talking about this yesterday.
Yeah, dude, it's mad. So for anyone who's seen that movie, you should check it out. It's with Gwyneth Paltrow. And it follows two parts of her life. One part where she makes the tube, and the other part where the doors close. She doesn't make the tube, obviously has to get the next one. This tiny little thing changes the whole path of her life. And it's insane, right? And I remember after watching that movie, I was like really questioning everything, like every moment. And I was thinking, oh my God, like, I just, meeting you right now will change the rest of my life. Like, us doing this now will actually change the rest of our life. Mm. We will go on a different path. Had I not been here right now, I may have been in somewhere else, and whatever, all the different things that will happen after this are very different had I not been here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's mad, dude. So yeah, I often think, and I look back and I'm like, imagine had I not set up my brand. Imagine, you know, had I not done the show. All these different things, man. And who knows who I would have been or what the path would have been. But I think the most important thing between those two people, the guy who did set it up and didn't, is just like believing in yourself, man, and like having faith. And, you know, we all go through doubt sometimes. We all get a little bit scared. But man, just like enjoy it. And if you've got something that you really believe in and you freaking love it, then just go for it. But just remember, when you do it, it's 24/7. Give it everything. It goes back to what I was saying there, man. So yeah, I'm just glad that I'm that cat right now who did take that leap of faith.
Yeah.
And who knows where the other cat is right now. But I hope he's all good. I hope he's having a good time. As long as he's positive and having a good time.
Man, I love it, man. So good.
Appreciate it, man.
It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you very much for having me.
Mate, not at all. It's been amazing.
Thank you so much.
I'm looking forward to getting it out there. So,
definitely, man, me too.
Is there any way you want to direct people to go and check out?
Yeah, man, for sure. So yeah, if anyone wants to check out Serge Denim, if you're looking for some cool garms, if you're looking for some really dope jewelry, all solid silver, premium but affordable, guys and girls, go check out www.sergedenim.com. And if you want to check me out on the YouTube, we've got some fun things coming. Oliver Proudlock. If you want to check me on the gram, it's just Proudlock. Your baby.
So there it is, guys. I hope you enjoyed that repost episode from the amazing Oliver Proudlock. We recorded that about this time last year, actually. He's such an awesome guy. We've actually had some conversations about doing the second episode. So much has happened for him between the last time we spoke and now. So I think that'll be so exciting to do that and hear what's happened in between. You heard about the event during the intro. I'm so excited for it. I've put so much time and energy into it, and I believe so passionately about the actual title and the subject matter we're discussing. And to have these amazing people all in one space at one time is such a unique thing, really. So I really can't wait for that. Tickets are £23.50. You can go to the Eventbrite link in my Instagram bio. My Instagram is at markwhittle_tf. Ignore what I said in the introduction because that was the old Instagram handle. But you can go to my Instagram. It's at markwhittle_tf. You're going to be getting a goodie bag as well, which I haven't mentioned already. There's a number of sponsors getting behind the event who are really exciting brands doing awesome stuff, all health and wellness related. And the value of the goodie bag pretty much adds up to the cost of the ticket anyway. Plus, you'll be getting unbelievable value from the people actually sharing their stories and giving you their energy, their time and their advice. I really hope to see you there on Thursday evening, 7 o'clock at King's Cross London. All details are on the Eventbrite link. And until then, stay positive, stay motivated and take flight.